We extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to each of our listeners today. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
If you want to be a good golfer, you must practice. If you want to grow spiritually, you must spend time with God. That's what I'd like to visit with you about in my sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray with your disciples of old. Lord, teach us how to pray. Grant, O God, that we may understand that you have invited us to come to the throne of grace, there to leave our cares and our concerns and our sins before you, knowing that through the merits of Jesus Christ, you will speak to us. And so, Lord, we also ask that this day your presence may be felt with those who listen, that through your word they may hear your voice speaking clearly to them. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake, amen.
So strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go.
No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning with verse 6. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Mm-hmm.
should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion,
friends in Christ. A few years ago, a new associate had come to our congregation. After he had been with us for a while, he said this to me: "I am amazed that so much gets done around this church with so little prayer." It was an astute observation that I did not take as a compliment. The problem was there was a big element of truth in it. We had spent so much time planning and relying on our own strength, especially if we compared it to letting God lead and guide us in a good prayer life. You know, they say, and I imagine that is true, that in the height of the Reformation, Martin Luther spent up to 5 hours a day in prayer. So we realize that prayer has always been a very important part of the church. Let's go back to the New Testament church and observe the prayer life there. We begin with the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man who prayed. We don't have time for all of the interesting incidences, but the one that I think of first, because I realize what Jesus must have been doing, was to get everybody out of town in order that he could be alone with God in prayer. He had just fed the 5,000 people, And after they had been fed, they were excited about it all. There was a lot of activity that was going on around that place. Then it was that Jesus finally said to the disciples, "Get into the boat and go ahead of me to the other side." And then he dismissed the crowd. When all of that was done, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land. He wanted to be alone with his Father. He wanted everybody out of there. He went up to the mountain with no one around. If Jesus needed to be alone with his Father, don't we? You may ask the question, well, when you're alone, and I really mean alone, what do you really say? What do you think Jesus prayed about? We don't know, because that was simply between his Father and him. But I could imagine that it might have been a prayer like this. "Father, I am concerned about one whom I have chosen. His name is Judas. I realize that he is materialistic. He is really after what he can gain from being my disciple. Will you impress upon him what I said to him not long ago? What does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and loses his soul?" I think Jesus could have gone on in that time and said, "I'm concerned about Peter too. Help Peter to learn from old Solomon, who once said, 'A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control.'" Father, Peter has so much potential. He'll be a tremendous asset in the building of the kingdom of God. But he has to bring that temper under control. He has to realize that he must daily humble himself before the throne of grace. I think he could have been praying for Thomas. "Thomas is the one, Lord, who has a hard time believing all that I am teaching him. He has that doubting mind. Help him to learn from that father with whom I visited not long ago, who prayed, 'God, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief.'" I think it was a prayer life like that that Jesus Christ had when he was alone with his Father. And if he needs that, don't you think that you and I do? There could well have been that agonizing time. You know, that time when you want to just talk with the Father about what's going on? Remember Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane? Matthew 26:36 is where you find that recorded, and it's always a passage that we need to read. Here he was not alone, but rather he had taken his disciples, or at least three of them, along with him. And when he went into that place called Gethsemane, he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." And then he took Peter and his two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little bit farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." In other words, he's praying that God will be with him in those terribly difficult hours that were facing him. Those are agonizing times, aren't they? There are times when you don't know which way to turn. You don't seem to have enough strength. And apparently that's the way that our Lord must have felt too. So he went on to leave it all with the Father before the throne of grace. There are so many of those agonizing hours in the lives of many of us. A few days ago, I ran into a very good friend, a man who had been a very successful person in our community and a God-fearing man and a person committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on to tell me what a tragic summer it had been. Their daughter had gone out on her bicycle for a ride and had hitched on the trailer, put their 3-year-old son in the trailer, in order that they might have some time together with the bicycle. While they were on their ride, a person came along in an automobile and hit the bicycle. It killed the mother and did not seriously injure the little boy. The father went on to tell me how agonizing it is. But if I had not had a father to whom I could turn, if I had not learned the truths of his holy word, I don't believe that I could have made it. Some time ago, I was riding by in a house, my car, and there I saw a young mother leave her children and to go on her way. Her husband had walked out on her a few months ago, and there she was with all of those problems before her. And the big question then always is, what do I do? Where do I go? It's at a time like this that we enter into the presence of God and pray. These can be hours of temptation. Satan can work overtime when all of these difficulties are before us. It's when we have that question asked so often, why me? Here our Lord Jesus says, watch and pray that you do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Where are you, God? And as Paul has written in this text that I read for you today from Philippians, the Lord is right here. The Lord is at hand. You see, in the early church, they had learned that they had to have a prayer life. And we have learned that in the church today as well. But I believe that the new associate at our church was right when he said, you don't begin to spend enough time. You are doing a lot of things. But how much more could be done if you'd only turn to the Father and really let him guide you, strengthen you, and lead you? You'd take a hold of so many more courageous things. You'd be able to face the difficult times better. You'd know what it would be to pray for those people in your family who are on your heart, and you're really concerned about them. Yeah, that's right, isn't it? It's a great time to pray for our families and our friends. It's a great time to really know that God is there listening to us. Prayer in the early church was absolutely necessary, and it still is necessary today. And then there is also that happy hour of prayer. It's quite different than we think of the happy hour in our day, where people gather around 4:30, 5 o'clock to lift their spirits with some refreshments after an emotional day. That probably will not get you very far. But the happy hour with our Lord Jesus Christ, where you and I can look back over that day and say, God, how you have really blessed us. Your hand of protection has rested over us. All things have gone well. We are a family. We are a company. I am an individual who has sensed your presence with me. Yeah, enough of those hours of temptation and frustration and anger and all the rest. It's in the happy hour that we sing our praises to God, from whom all blessings have really come. We turn our eyes heavenward, and we thank God for all the good things that he has so graciously bestowed upon us. And then we close that day knowing that we are in our Father's hands. We rejoice in the Lord always, and again we say with Paul, rejoice and thank him. For we have sensed his presence through the day. He is at hand. Things have gone along with his guidance well. Yeah, thank God that we can bring our requests to him. And it doesn't matter what those requests are. Be thankful for that peace which you have in your heart. For we know that it is only God who can give us that peace which passes all understanding. The early church was used mightily by God. They certainly did not have the resources that we have today. They didn't have all of the electronics They did not have the transportation, and they did not have the communication, and they did not have the money to do the work that the Father had told them to do and go and make disciples of all nations. But let us learn from them. No matter how much we have learned during these 2,000 years, and no matter how many resources are at our fingertips, it is only He alone who can strengthen us, who can direct us, and who can lead us in bringing the message of Jesus Christ to the world of which we are a part. Well, you ask yourself, how are we doing today? We know that they were people of prayer. Now, we realize, as we have said so often, that that early church was not a perfect church, nor is ours a perfect church. But we know that we must reach out, and we oftentimes are fearful to do it. Here it is that prayer comes into being. Friend, I am afraid sometimes when I review the ministry that I had for all of those years, that associate was so right. You get a lot accomplished. We did. We worked hard. We worked long. But I wonder if perhaps more would not have been accomplished if we had put our pens on the desk and had just sat down and said, "Oh Lord Jesus, lead us and guide us." If we had spent more time preaching on prayer, if we had done as much organizing for prayer as we had done for some of those trips and other extracurricular activities that were around the church, if we could have had a whole host of people intentionally praying for some particular thing in that congregation. Yes, we ask God for the forgiveness of our sins where we have failed in that sense of the word, but we also pray that He will give us strength. He will lead us and guide us to understand that nothing is really accomplished without Him. And so we come to His throne of grace, there to find the Savior who will walk with us. May the church of this day be truly a church of prayer. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care, and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief, and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Again. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet
Father in heaven, we pray that we may turn to you for real strength, guidance, and direction. So today we pray, O Lord, for those who are in special need. We pray for the sick, for the suffering. O God, for those whose homes have been broken apart, either by death or by divorce, where there are tremendous needs. Help us, O God, to see that we cannot just go on our own way, but that rather we must turn to you to give us strength to face the future and also to give us direction. May our homes be places of prayer. May there be there a room, O God, where people can go, shut the door, and be alone. Help us to take your word very literally at this part of the scriptures, that you are a Father who does listen to us, that you are concerned about us, and that you will never leave us, nor will you forsake us. Grant, O God, that all of this may be true, and now we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by the gifts of our listeners. Our faithful listeners have financed this ministry for 63 years. We thank you for your prayers and your generous offerings. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you the gift of a free year 2001 calendar. This nature calendar features beautiful four-color portraits of spectacular scenes in the United States with a different Bible verse for each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. And call Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. Central Time. You can leave a message at any time. We will need your name, mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Once again, our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 266-7589. We invite you to visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 38 years.